Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody dropped some glasses. All right. Eloy, why don't you show those glasses? There you go. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, don't forget, before I get started on the sermon today, we have a lunch today, so please don't rush out today. You know, we will lift up an offering, but we don't, like, check you to see, you know, it's for all of us to fellowship. But the offering is just like a fundraiser for camp. But please, even if, you know, you don't have any money today, that's okay. Stick around. We got really good spaghetti. The spaghetti sauce is awesome because we know who made it, so it's going to be awesome. So I encourage everyone to stick around, if you can. I mean, obviously, if you have the birthday to go to or something, you know, that's things happen, family things. But please, I encourage you to just fellowship. Stick around, fellowship. I'll do my best not to shake your hand and stuff. I'm a little under the weather. It's okay. Encourage you to stay and let's fellowship a little bit together. So I'm not quite sure if we're going to do it out here or in there, depending on how many people we have. I'll let Joseph decide, and they'll get it all organized. So if they need your help, he'll announce at the end to move the chairs and bring tables in. But we want to encourage everyone to stick around and have some great spaghetti. And there's great desserts back there. I saw some. I don't know if you all saw any out there, but there's some good stuff. Salad, spaghetti, what else? Dessert, but I'm sure there's more than enough spaghetti, so no one's going to go home hungry today. Praise the Lord. All right. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Joseph was writing down the information I gave him about the prices and stuff, and so I told him, Alyssa's been saying, I've been saying weird things while I've been a little under the weather, so I, you know, just do your best to understand what I'm saying. So I guess I didn't communicate too well, but we'll clear that up. Well, the title of today's sermon is, there it was. That was that noise I was talking about, Joseph. The title is, It's My Turn to Answer the Call. You know, you remember when we had those phones in our homes, the landline phones, remember, before cell phones? How many in here still have a landline phone? Raise your hand really high. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4. No, 5. Do you have one, Judy? A landline? What is that? Only 5 families in this place have a landline. I don't have one anymore. They got rid of it. The alarm is now wireless, right? And we don't need them as much anymore. So, but remember when the phone used to ring? And nobody wanted to pick it up. We don't have those problems anymore with cell phones, right? It's like, it's yours. It rings here. But you remember those days? Like, you get it. You get it. Well, you know, it's time to answer the call, right? At some point, you got to answer the call. Look, can you give me my water there real quick? At some point, you got to answer the call. And I just feel in the spirit today that God's telling us it's time to answer the call. Amen. Each and every one of us, we have a call. And you know, the timing is God's timing. But the heart, the decision in your heart to answer it is now. How it comes about, the call, like what God wants you to do to impact this world. If you don't think you've been called to impact somebody, you don't understand the word. Right? We are called to impact something for His kingdom. And it's important, right? Because that's why the Bible says the body of Christ, there's no one member greater than the other member. Every piece of this call, every piece of the work is important, and it's kingdom important. And every one of us have it, and you may be wondering, what is that for me? Well, that's a good question to ask. And the answer is never, it just skips you and you just don't get, you're just insignificant. That is the devil. All of us are significant parts of the call, of the kingdom of God. And the phone is ringing and it's time to pick it up, right? It's time to be like, There was the opposite effect when we used to have landlines. Remember the teenage girl or boy waiting for a call? Remember that? Well, I believe that's kind of what God's calling us to do. Be passionate about answering the call He has for us. And it's a heart thing. It's an intentional heart attitude. It's the attitude of your heart. Because you may come out of this place today and say, yes, I want to answer the call, Lord. But the actions and the actual work that needs to be done may not be today. But the decision in our heart, it is always today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, right? That heart decision is always today. How it manifests itself in an actual calling and the ministry and whatever God has you to serve in, you know, that may take some time or may not, but the heart, ready to answer. So the next time, you know, the pastor says, I need help in this area or something, and you're like, yeah, I've been waiting for that call. I've been waiting for that call. I'm going to help, right? I'm expecting in the next, before the year's out, that some of you are going to come to me and say, you know, I've been praying and I need to do something for the Lord. Can you just guide me? I mean, what a pastor. That would be like the pastor's, like, ultimate, you know, answered prayer, right? People are like, hey, I really want to do something. What do you have? What can I do? And you'll be surprised. Sometimes the pastor was, give me some time. I'll see what the Lord puts on my heart, and you know, something will happen. Or maybe you'll be like, I was waiting for someone to ask me this question, and here it is. Or, you know, God will figure that out. But the heart attitude is now. Answer the call is a now thing. And it's my turn to answer the call. To illustrate this, let's go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. I love spaghetti. I love spaghetti. Well, that's my favorite food. Praise the Lord. I know what you're wondering. Where did that come from? I must be hungry. I'm going to answer that call when the spaghetti comes, that's for sure. Luke 22, verse 54. Here's Peter, famous story. Then took they him and laid Jesus. He was crucified, and they brought him into led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him and sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was with Jesus. And he denied it. Peter denied it, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, ma'am, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with Jesus, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, ma'am, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, saying that how he would deny him three times before the cock crowed. And Peter went out, and he wept bitterly. And the man that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things blasphemously spake they against Jesus. So here you have Peter betraying Jesus, just as Jesus had prophesied. And there he was, Peter the rock, who Jesus said, I'm going to build my church upon you. And here he is, scared to death. He betrayed Jesus. So for all of us who have betrayed Jesus one way or another, through sin, through disobedience, this part of Peter's story we can all relate to. Amen? This betrayal, and this is important to get a grasp of. this betrayal that Peter did, that we've done, never changed the fact that God had chosen Peter to minister and to serve people. The betrayal didn't change the fact that he would be the rock that Jesus would build the church upon. At some point, Peter was going to realize it was his turn to answer the call. But at this moment, at this weakness, at this time when he was scared to death, it didn't look that way at all. It didn't look like Peter, the rock, was going to accomplish the call. It looked pretty dim. And Jesus is on his way to the cross to be crucified, and he sees that Peter denied him three times. And the betrayal was part of the story, but it never changed the fact that Peter had a calling, and it was a good calling, an important calling. So whatever you may have done in life, whatever things that may you have in your past that sometimes the enemy creeps it back up to show you how imperfect you are or how you've messed up, the Bible says that he's faithful and just to forgive us. And you can forget it because he does. If you've asked him to forgive you and you've laid that at the cross, none of that stuff in your past will change the fact. That betrayal will never change the fact that you are called to something great. Amen. It doesn't. And it is people who stay there and are unable to forgive themselves that have trouble seeing their calling. Because what happens is the enemy uses our past to blind us about the hope that we have and the power we have in Jesus Christ for our future. Forgiving yourself is important. Saying, Lord, forgive me, and leave it there. And Jesus says, I forgive you, go and sin no more. It's important to forgive yourself. And don't let the enemy bring that up as an excuse why you're never going to accomplish more. You're just going to be, get by and go to heaven and that's it. Well, God didn't call us to just get by here on earth. We're more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. Right? It's God's will that we prosper and be in good health and answer the call that he has for our life. To be part of the body where every member is just as important as any other member. So here we read Peter's biggest failure, his betrayal, and yet it didn't change the fact that he was called into greatness. So the next part of the story in John chapter 21, verse 15 says this. So after Peter rose from Jesus rose from the dead, he came to visit Peter. Peter was the one that Jesus pinpointed because the last time he saw him, he betrayed him, right? But Jesus believed in him. He was called. And so Jesus comes to him and they have this moment. Remember, he betrayed him three times, and we have this moment where Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? And he asked him three times. Yeah, a lot of people say that there was a significance to the fact that he said it three times to cancel out, you know, something maybe spiritually or, you know, beyond what we can understand. But Jesus did it three times. He says this. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, then feed my lambs. He saith to him again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him again, feed my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? So Peter was like, you know, didn't you hear me the first two times? And he said unto the Lord, thou knowest all things. You knowest that I love thee, Jesus. Saith unto him, then feed my sheep. Jesus was basically telling Peter, if you love me, then you will commit to feeding my sheep, feeding people, serving people. Which means to serve and to minister to people by using his gifts and his calling. In Peter's case, his gift and calling was primarily to be the rock, to be the apostle Peter, the prophet, the disciple Peter, that was an apostle. The ministry to serve people using the gifts, the Holy Spirit is basically telling you and me the same thing. If we truly love Jesus, then we will commit ourselves to answer the call. Amen? Amen? You know, pastors don't assign gifts and callings. You know, maybe some pastors think they do, but it's not true. Right? Pastors don't assign gifts and callings. They can assign a task, right? But you, if a pastor assigns somebody a task and they're not called for it, it's not going to work, right? It is God, our Heavenly Father, who created us that gives us our gifts and our callings. And the gift and calling of God is without repentance. You cannot tell God, thank you for this calling, but I'd like another one. Right? If you try to live your life like that, you're going to be confused. And sometimes we do fight it for a while. And God, you know, he kind of molds us and shapes us into our calling. Sometimes your calling, you don't even know that you have a strength yet until you do the little things. Hey, thank you. He noticed that I finished. Very good. Thank you. So pastors don't assign gifts and callings, right? That's important. It doesn't mean if the pastor asks you to say something that you say, nah, I'm not going to do it because that's not my calling. Right? I like that one where a pastor needs some help. Can you help me with this area? Oh, I'm going to pray about it first. I'll let you know, pastor. There's something out of order in that mindset, right? Yeah, you can say, I don't want to do it. That's fine. That's a good answer, right? Or, I really don't. No is okay, but it's important to help when you can, and it's also important to keep things always in order, right? In order, and that's important too. So sometimes the pastor will ask you to do something, and even though it's not your calling, you may want to do it just to, you know, be helpful, right? Just to be helpful, and then God will figure it all out. Amen. So the next part of Peter's story in Acts chapter 3, verse 1 is this. So Peter denied betrayal. Jesus says, do you love me? Keep my commandments and also feed my sheep. And then in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, we have a completely different Peter. Let's read that story. We all know it. And he says, I'll have somebody read that for me. First, Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 9. See if somebody can read that. You want to do that for me? All right. Thank you. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 9.
Now when Peter and John went up together into the temple, the hour of prayer being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. I'm going to need the computer to move to the next one. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Then he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his face and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God.
I think I turned this off. There it is. So we see in this story that this is definitely not the same Peter. He went from betrayal to seeing Jesus, and now he's walking to the temple and he says, I don't have anything to give you, but I'll give you Jesus. Rise up and walk, and he's healed. And now Peter is about to give a sermon, and 5,000 people are going to get saved in giving him the gospel. Right? What happened? Peter, in his heart, answered the call. He answered the call, and when he answered the call, things got into motion. The betrayal happened and didn't change the call. Then he told Jesus, yes, I love you. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And then he's out doing it. That's pretty much the story of our lives, isn't it? We've betrayed him. We've done things. And then we've said, Lord, yes, I love you. I want to live for you. And Jesus saying, well, if you love me, you're going to answer the call. You're going to do it. You're going to serve me. You're going to accept me as Savior. You're going to put this world back, and you're going to put me first in your life, and you're going to answer this call. And that's what Peter did, and that's what this story shows. So I'm going to ask Michelle to come. Some music. And I think today is a moment where in your own heart, you need to forget the past. You need to stop listening to the enemy that tells you you're just going to hang on through your Christian life. No, it's a victorious life. It's a life of joy and peace. It's a life of surrender to Jesus Christ, the Creator of all. He was here from the beginning. It says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And Jesus, part of that Trinity, he loves us. But it's a heart thing today. I believe there's some of you in this place that the Holy Spirit's tugging in. It's an attitude of your heart. It's time for me to stop what I'm doing and answer the call. The phone is ringing. And it's time for me, for you, to get up and answer that call and say, Jesus, I'm your faithful servant. I will go wherever that leads me. I will answer the call. Amen. And it's a heart decision that you will do it. I will live for you. I will put you first. I will start to be intentional about finding my calling. Finding that place. So that's you. In the count of three, I'm going to ask you to come. And if everybody will just close your eyes and bow your heads. I think there's just a moment that needs to be had today where men and women, and just for you to show it publicly to the Lord that, yes, I'm determined. I'm determined to live for God. I've tried it my own way. My past has gotten in my way. I let my past affect me, how I'm going to serve the Lord or what I'm going to do or my mindset, but no more. I'm forgiven because the Bible says if we ask Him, He's faithful and just to forgive us. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All. Maybe some of you need to come and lay that past and just finally bury it. You've already asked God to forgive you. You've already said and you moved on, but it's still there. And because of that, you haven't been able to answer this call. Well, today's the day to bury that and answer the call. Today's the day to determine in your heart, yes, Lord, I will feed your sheep and your lambs. Yes, Lord, I will serve people. I will answer the call. I don't even know what that means yet. But I know that what I'm doing is not going to work. That what I'm doing leads to confusion and leads to frustration and no peace and fear. But when I totally leave everything go, I let everything go, my past and even my future, what I think it should be, I let that go. And I make a decision today, an attitude of my heart. I make a decision to say, yes, Lord, like Peter said, yes, I will answer the call. It's my turn to stand up and answer the call. And if that's you, bury your past and just come and answer the call. Let Jesus take it. And by coming, you're just symbolically saying, and you're showing the enemy, look, I'm different. I'm going to be intentional. I'm going to answer the call, whatever that may mean. If that's you, in the count of three, come. One, two, three. Let the past and bury it. Let it bury the past. And just right now, today, settle in your heart. You will answer the call. In Jesus' name, Michelle, lead us.
Take these hands. I know they're empty, but with you they can be used for beauty in your perfect plan.
Thank you. The past is gone. I'm going to answer the call.
Take these feet. I know they stumble, but you use the
weak.
You use the humble, so please use me. All I am is you.
This isn't just any day. This is a day of decision.
Take these feet. Yes, I know they're empty, but with you.
You may not even know what that means yet. But you know that you're in. You know that you're in.
All I am is you.
Holy Spirit, come. We are going to answer this call. In the name of Jesus.
I know the stumble, but you choose the weak. You use the humble.
Turn to answer this call. The past is dead and buried. And now we're free. We're free to worship. We're free to answer the call. And when the time comes, you will step right in with joy, with peace.
Take this heart.
Our weakness, he is our strength. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And the gates of hell will not prevail against your calling. The gates of hell will not prevail against your calling. There is nothing that can stop this calling. And Peter could not be stopped. Not because he was good, but because the Holy Spirit empowered him to overcome. And you will not be stopped. Not because we're good, but because the Holy Spirit will empower us to overcome. And it is a day to rejoice. A day to rejoice because many hearts today, many hearts just came up knowing down deep in their heart, above everything else, they want to answer the call of God. And it is our turn. It is your turn. And that's a miracle that we experience when hearts are passionate to answer this call of God in their lives. Thank you, Jesus. There's just a feeling of freedom. Of freedom. And even we, you said in your word, will do even greater things than you did if we believe. I believe God. I believe His word. And I believe in His people. I believe in the laborers. The laborers are being prepared for the harvest. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's give Him a clap offering. Amen. Hallelujah.